Welcome, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. On this show, we aim to make you a more intelligent real estate investor, and these are our Q&A episodes. So you can call us, you can leave a voicemail message for us, and we will answer them here live on the show. You can do that by going to our website, which is morrisinvest.com, and click on the little microphone icon in the lower right-hand part of your screen and leave us a 30-second voicemail question or less, hopefully less, but you know, 30 seconds. Try to keep it to that. That way we can get to more content here on the show. So without further ado, let's tackle our first question, real estate related, and it comes to us from Barb.
Yeah, hi there, Clayton. This is Barb again. I've been seeing about them interest rates changing and how they keep going higher and such. And what do you think about those ARMs, them adjustable rate mortgages? Can you tell me what you have to do to get one of those and what you got to do to qualify? And if those aren't a good option, what you might recommend for getting around them higher interest rates right now? Thank you so much for all you do and really appreciate your content.
Thank you so much, Barb. I appreciate that. So adjustable rate mortgage, good question. So first of all, what is an ARM? Let's tackle that. This, of course, adjustable rate mortgages is what famously got us into the mortgage crisis of 2008. Adjustable rate mortgages. Everyone was just saying, yeah, give me that adjustable rate mortgage, because even if it goes up, it's probably not going to be that bad. I'll be fine, right? Oh boy. And we got into a hell of a mess. So a lot of people had those adjustable rate mortgages that were coming due right around the time when they were having to refinance the property and get into a longer term loan, and they were out of work. They didn't have a job. They really couldn't qualify for it. It was a disaster. So an ARM is just an adjustable rate mortgage. Usually has a variable time frame. Interest rates can change over time, of course. So typically the loan will have an introductory period with a low fixed rate. So anywhere from like 3 to 10 years. So people jump on those ARMs and like, yeah, I can get this lower rate. And, you know, maybe I can get 2%, I can get 3%. And then, you know, I'll wait 5 years, maybe. And, you know, yes, I will refinance. It'll go into a different style loan. It'll jump up, but it's not gonna be that bad, right? Well, then what if it is, and you suddenly can't afford it because you bit off more than you can chew? And this is, of course, what happens. So after that introductory rate expires, then the interest rate is going to adjust at certain intervals, depending on market conditions. So ARMs generally have caps on how much the interest rate can rise per year over the lifetime of a loan. A couple of pros on it, of course, the pros and cons here. The pros are that an ARM can be great for someone who knows that they're going to sell their property, you know, before that adjustment period starts. So if you know you're only going to be there for 3 years, for, you know, I don't know, you're in some sort of a job that transfers a lot, and you know, hey, I don't need that 5 year. I'm only going to be here 3 years anyway. So I'll take that low interest rate. Great. Good for you. Then you can take that full advantage of that lower payment and move on with your life. Of course, the cons are long. So there's quite a few cons here. An ARM loan can put you in a bad spot if you're unable to refinance your home and before that adjustment period ends. Some refinances will only allow for a loan-to-value ratio of 80% or less. So if you put down 5% on a property and you have a five-year ARM, then you're going to need, and you better hope that your property appreciates 15% in 5 years. Otherwise, that's probably not going to happen, okay? Then you're going to have to be stuck with a much higher interest rate until you're able to refinance. So again, that loan-to-value ratio. And therefore, you may have to come out of pocket. Of course, another big con, right? So if to make up the difference between the loan to value of the property, if you don't have enough value in the property because it hasn't appreciated significantly when that term is up, to make up the difference, you're going to have to come out of pocket for that. So it can be very, very concerning. Bottom line is right now, ARMs are going to be priced about the same as a 30-year fixed mortgage. So in most scenarios, it really doesn't make any sense right now. Like, why would you get a fixed? Why would you get like an adjustable rate mortgage now when it's going to be basically the same as a 30-year mortgage? And then, of course, you run the risk of what happens in 3 to 5 years when it adjusts and it explodes in interest rates or something. I mean, who knows, right? But why would you want to take that risk? It just doesn't make sense. A lot of people are scared of ARMs because of what they've heard in the media, and there's nothing wrong with an ARM as long as you understand how and when to use it. You know, again, if you're buying a primary home and you are, dare I say, financially intelligent, an ARM may be a great product. It's just not typically going to be a fit for a buy and hold real estate investor. Just doesn't make sense for me in my portfolio of buying rental real estate. Doesn't make sense. I much rather have locked in long-term loans that I can count on with banks. I don't want to be in the game playing these adjustable rate mortgage games. Again, if you're a primary homeowner, maybe it's a great vehicle for you. You can use that if you're only going to be there for a short amount of time and you can get out of there and sell the property before it adjusts. Hey, great for you. Great for you. And by the way, adjustable rate mortgages are a lot harder to find today given the environment. So again, that's just another con on the list. So thank you for that question. Our next question comes to us from Chris.
Hello, Clayton. Chris Hoffman here. I really enjoy your videos and newsletter content. I've seen your recent questions and answers about HELOCs, and I have two related questions. Do you know of any providers that will give you a HELOC if you have a foreclosure on your credit report? And also, about DTI, which I know can be a factor, is there any way around it when what you're trying to get the HELOC for is the very thing weighing down your DTI, such as credit card debt? Thank you in advance.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, these are things we have to work on. We're at the mercy of these banks and what, you know, what signals we send them. And debt to income is, you know, going to be a problem, right? So that debt to income ratio is going to be a big thing. They're going to look at you and say, okay, this, you know, Chris has a lot of debt and his income is not squared away with that. So why are we going to give him a favorable rate on a mortgage? You may be able to get that mortgage, but then you're going to have to pay like primary mortgage insurance or private mortgage insurance on a PMI to protect them. So that in case you can't pay it, there's like an insurance policy on top of the mortgage. So you're going to have to pay more for that. My suggestion would be, first of all, to shop around. You can work with banks who are going to be favorable based on a foreclosure. It really is going to depend, of course, on when that foreclosure took place. So banks, obviously back in 2007, 2008, that I think by now should actually be off your record. It's not going to be an issue after the 7-year period. I think it's 7 years. Forgive me. And I know that some of these laws have changed. There's been some favorable changes to these laws. So I would definitely talk with the bank on this. It used to be 7 years where this would appear on your record. If there's, and again, if it was because of 2007, 2008, that's looked upon less stringently, so to speak, as long as the income is there and your ability now to pay down credit card debt is there. But if all of those things are, you're swimming in those things, you might be asking the wrong question, which is being, you know, trying to get additional mortgages right now on top of the debt you currently have. I would be much more concerned about how can I get rid of this debt that I have? And in that amount of time, maybe building up my credit score so that I can start, you know, using the bank's money for purchases once I get that debt squared away. So I would really kind of zero in on paying some of that debt down if I could. While at the same time trying to find a way that maybe I could partner up with some private investors, maybe, you know, not going the traditional bank route. There's all sorts of money out there. If you just jump on LinkedIn and do a search for private lender, okay, again, it won't even really matter if you've got this trouble with your credit score because you're going to be positioning things differently. Again, I would also say we work with investors all the time who have trouble with their credit score. And they have had trouble in the past. But because we do non-recourse financing on a lot of our properties, this might be an opportunity, Chris, for you to book a call with our team and we can walk you through that process. Non-recourse financing means that you might have had trouble with your credit score in the past. There's some sort of blemish on your credit history that's a problem. Well, the bank doesn't care about you necessarily. What they care about is the asset that they're going to be lending on. So it's not in your name. Okay, the bank is going to be actually funding the asset in an LLC, and they don't care about you, Chris, with your foreclosure 7 years ago. They care about the asset that they're going to be lending on. Yes, you have to bring a little bit more money down payment, but they're funding the property for you with their money, and it's not tied to your personal credit score. So there are options. I would say book a call with our team. So just go to morrisinvest.com and click on the book a call button, and we can talk to you about the non-recourse financing that we've got on some of our rental properties.
Boy, I wish I had learned about Tarte Cherry Gummies about 1,000 workouts ago, because my recovery has suffered over the years. And if you're like me, you love finding easy ways to support a healthy routine. I love my Super Beats heart chews, and the same people just came out with my new favorite way to tackle a post-workout inflammation problems. And I get some inflammation in my knees after doing my leg workouts. So Tarte Cherry Gummies helps all of that. For the makers of Super Beats Heart Chews, they're an easy way to reduce inflammation from exercise, and they support your metabolic health. These gummies are made with a clinically studied tart cherry extract that is up to 40 times more concentrated than many other tart cherry extracts out there. Just two of them. Just take two of these gummies, and they are the antioxidant equivalent of 16 ounces of tart cherry juice, or 100 cherries. And they're vegan, non-GMO. They have zero sugar, and they are delicious. They're formulated by a team of scientists led by a Nobel Prize-winning doctor. Tarte Cherry has been clinically studied to support metabolic health. Really, really love it. I love taking them. They taste fantastic. And again, has tremendously helped my knees. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Right now, you can get up to 35% off Tarte Cherry Gummies, plus free shipping at mytartecherry.com/investing. So again, that URL is mytartecherry.com/investing. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's mytartecherry.com/investing for up to 35% off Tarte Cherry Gummies. Again, mytartecherry.com/investing. You will love them.
All right, our next question comes to us from Bernadine.
Hello, Mr. Clayton Morris. My name is Bernadine Grant. I'm interested in the real estate investing, as you have noted, I believe. I'd like to know, how much money do you need to start out to with this real estate investing? And because I have limited funds. Okay, I will listen out for your reply. Thank you.
Okay, Bernadine. Well, it's kind of a loaded question, because honestly, you need $0 to get started with real estate investing. Okay, so again, I've talked to people here on the channel all the time. If they have no money, there's three things that you need to be a real estate investor. You need money, you need people, and you need a deal. If you don't have money, if you've got $0 or very limited money, then what you need to do is be a deal finder. You need to devote your time to taking a training course and going out and finding deals, you know, locating the deals. And then you can actually flip those as a wholesaler to longer term investors who want to spend 8-9 months renovating the property, and they'll pay you a finder's fee. Okay. Maybe 10, 15. I've made upwards of $40,000, $50,000 on a flip, just flipping the contract. Selling the contract to the long-term buyer of the property who wants to, who wants to purchase the property and do the renovations on that. That's definitely been the case. For instance, I did a lot of wholesaling in the state of New Jersey. So if I found a property, one of my biggest deals ever was a property I bought for $300,000. I found this property needed a ton of work. It was inherited through the children, because the parents passed away. It was in a neighborhood that was completely transitioning into multi-million dollar homes. And I bought this house for $300,000, paid cash for it, sat on it. I sold the contract actually to a renovator who wanted to buy the house. And I didn't have to come, I was able to construct the deal where I didn't have to come out of pocket at all. I was able just to flip the contract and sold it for, I think, $352,000. So I made like $52,000 on the deal, if I'm not mistaken. And then they renovated the property, added a whole extra layer to the top of the house, and then sold it for like $900,000. So they made $200,000 or $300,000 profit. So that's what you can do. And then you're paid a middleman fee. So that's wholesaling. You can certainly learn how to do that. Zach Booth has a Driving for Dollars course if you're interested. We'll link that up in the show description as well. You can learn more about that training course. But if you do have some funds, then it depends on what property you're looking at. So the properties that we build at Morris Invest for our clients, For instance, we had a client just the other day who bought 10 properties from us. These are all fully done for use properties, built from the ground up, brand new construction in the best neighborhoods in West Texas, where we build our properties, in the best school district. So tenants will stay for very, very long because they want their children to be in that school district. It's fully managed as well. So property management teams fully manage the property, place the tenants so they don't have to do anything. They just have to be able to provide the closing costs and, you know, consult with their property management team every so often to make sure everything is taken care of for them and so forth. So in that situation, the down payment is going to be anywhere from about $50,000 to $70,000 down payment. And then we work with over 100 different lenders for financing for the rest of it. So that's us. That's a full service rental real estate company. And then you have the wholesaling, which is if you have no money and you're looking to raise some capital, right? You're making $10,000, $15,000 every deal you find and flip it to an end buyer. After you get a couple of those deals under your belt, you've got $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 in cash. Great. You can start to use that to invest in real estate. Okay. That's one way to do it. That's two ways to do it, actually. A third way to do it is to partner with somebody who has money. Again, the three ways to invest in real estate. You've got to have money, you have to have a deal, and you have to know people. Okay, well, maybe you know people, and maybe you found a deal, okay, that you want to invest in, but you were the property finder, which is great because they didn't find it, and that's what you're bringing to the table in this partnership. You know, hey, John, I found this great deal. I don't have the capital for it, but I've got it. I would like to invest in this deal. Would you like to go in on it with me? And you can construct a contract with a partner. So you form an LLC together, and you know, you're able to pay back the part of this ownership. There's all sorts of ways to be creative about real estate investing. So it's just a matter of what your current situation is and where do you think you can go. You could also try to find some property on Zillow, you know, go out there and try to find some property and do it yourself, DIY it. You know, find a property that needs work, fix it up yourself, manage the property yourself by putting a tenant in the property. This again, there's all sorts of ways that you can take action and become a real estate investor. You know, it just really kind of depends on your personal situation. So, Bernadine, what I would do is probably just book a call with our team and we can kind of point you in the right direction. I should also mention we have a free bootcamp, a 90-day free financial bootcamp. I would encourage all of you to download it. It's totally free. If you go to morrisinvest.com/bootcamp, it's a workbook and it's going to take you through 90 days of getting your finances in order. Because I heard from Chris and I heard from Bernadine, and these are probably individuals who could use this bootcamp. And it takes you through week by week by week on how to fix your finances and be ready to start investing in real estate after 90 days. So go there, download that for free. Again, morrisinvest.com/bootcamp. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for the Q&A today. And please, you can leave us voicemail messages by going to morrisinvest.com and click on the little microphone icon and leave us a voicemail. Now, go out there, everyone. Take action. Become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.